Good morning once again. Welcome to Firm Foundation Christian Church. Our scripture text is taken from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 42 in verse 6. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles. And as is often our custom, we're going to read the context of our scripture verse and give a brief explanation in order to set things aright. Isaiah chapter 42, beginning in verse 1. Behold, my servant whom I uphold, my elect one in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will not cry out, nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench. He will bring forth justice for truth. He will not fail, nor be discouraged, till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands shall wait for his law. This passage begins with the word behold. In other words, the speaker, in this case God the Father, is telling the reader, don't miss what I am about to say. The content of the message is that God the Son, the Messiah servant, has been commissioned to bring the gospel to all peoples of the earth with authority and with power. We find evidence here of the Trinity. Now, the doctrine of the Trinity cannot be perfectly understood by men, but nonetheless, we believe it because the Bible clearly teaches it. And therefore, all Orthodox Christians affirm it. There are three distinct persons within the Godhead, and they all appear together in one verse. Behold, my servant, God the Son, whom I, God the Father, uphold. I have put my spirit, God the Holy Spirit, upon him. And we see this in action at the baptism of our Lord. Now, these four verses are quoted together in the New Testament, and they are applied to Christ Jesus, so we can be sure of whom they speak. It is affirmed that the Lord will not reject based upon our degree of faith. But if we have even a little faith, the Lord will compassionately bear with us and water that seed. There is no chance that Christ will fail in his mission as the mediator of the new covenant, nor is there any chance that he will ever be overcome. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread forth the earth and that which comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness, and I will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the prison, those who sit in darkness from the prison house. And we had a question on this verse at a Bible study Friday night, which was a very good one with regard to the interpretation of this. Does this refer to those literal prisoners, the folks who are in the ACI only? Or does this refer to a broader group of folks? Now, we can read this certainly with regard to a broader group of folks, even us. It is as if we are all sitting in the prison house, and we are in our cells, and there are two doors. And the first door, which Jesus Christ opens, is the door to free us from the bondage of the law of Moses and into the glorious liberty which is found in Christ Jesus. And having opened that door, the second door, is the bondage to sin, which leads to death. And Christ has opened that door wide as well. And there we sit, each one of us, in our own prison cell, with the doors wide open. Have we the sense to leave that place into the glorious liberty of the Lord Jesus Christ? In our sermon proper this morning, we're going to speak of the Great One, the Lord, our God, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And our text says that he is two things. First, that he is a covenant to the people. And second, that he is a light to the Gentiles. A covenant to the people. We all recall the new covenant. And this was that which was spoken of by the prophet Jeremiah. Behold, pay attention, folks. The days are coming, says the Lord, when I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. And in the New Testament, our Lord says, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. So we see that the new covenant, with regard to its origin, was made with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. So it is a Jewish covenant, but by the grace of God, its blessings have been conferred to the Gentiles also. There is room enough at the cross, not only for the Jew, but also for the Gentile. The same is also true of God's covenant with Abraham. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Friends, God's covenant blessings are received through a person. As our text says, Jesus Christ himself was given as a covenant to the people. Furthermore, we read that I, the Lord, have called you, the Son of God, in righteousness. We live in a world filled with sin, with injustice, and unrighteousness, and so whatever shall be, until the Lord returns and establishes his kingdom on his holy hill. But our hope is not here. If our hope is in this world alone, we shall surely be disappointed in the end. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice, let the multitude of isles be glad. Clouds and darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. And we have both sides of the coin presented by Solomon. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivers from death. The Lord will not allow the righteous soul to famish. If you're seeking the Lord earnestly, day by day, morning by morning, evening by evening, you shall not go unfed. But he casts away the desire of the wicked. God sent down his son as a babe, and his righteousness came near. In fact, the new covenant requires two things, amongst other things: satisfaction and substitution. Satisfaction of God's wrath against sin and against sinners. For as by one man's disobedience, we're talking here about the original sin of Adam, many were made sinners. So also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Substitution. This Jesus came down to die in your place. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. A light to the Gentiles. Just as Jesus is the covenant, he is also the light. We do well when we read through the scriptures and we read God's promises to see the person of Jesus Christ in every single one of them. Does he not also proclaim himself to be the light of the world? And Isaiah picks up further on this motif. In the 60th chapter, arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appears, and the soul felt its worth. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. John tells us that Jesus is the eternal light and the bearer and only means of eternal life. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And again, Jesus said, I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me shall not abide or live in darkness. And Isaiah also said, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. Are there any here who need hope? Who need peace? Who need divine help? Who need freedom from their sin? Victory over temptation? Do you need salvation? Do you need peace with God? God will give you that too. For it is written that the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. See, Jesus has given us a covenant of peace. For this cause, he came into the world to die for you and me. Jesus has given us light. A light to the Gentiles. He has given himself to live by this Christmas. Even all the way to the celestial city. Sounds like a beautiful place, huh? For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And then, the eternal hope, where we shall dwell in the city that has no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God illuminates it. The Lamb is its light. Is there light in your life? How often do you think about the new covenant, which Jesus fulfilled for you. When you think of the new covenant, do you think of his person? When you think of light, every time you see light, every time you turn the light on, do you think of Jesus Christ? You walk in here, wow, there's all these lights. Look at all these lights in here. Do these things cause you to recall the Lord in his person and give thanks for coming into the world and doing that which was needful to bring us reconciliation to our God and all of the blessings that go with it? So we thank you, Heavenly Father, this Christmas season for the light that you bring. Lord, we pray that you might shine that light brightly in our hearts, that we might be light bearers, not being preoccupied with the things of this world, the latest news of the day, the plague, which is all around us. But let us be first and foremost preoccupied with the eternal God, our covenant, our light, and our Prince of Peace. We pray that this has the effect of worship, hope, brightness, and glory in the heart of everyone here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.